is a very reasonable question here. As John later elaborated, macroeconomics is an area where data sets tend to be thin and predictive performance tends to be poor. And John had previously observed me making contrarian claims where I'd turned out to be badly wrong, like endorsing Gary Taubes' theories about the causes of the obesity epidemic. More recently, John won money off me by betting that AI performance on certain metrics would improve faster than I expected. John has a good track record when it comes to spotting my mistakes. It's also easy to imagine reasons an observer might have been skeptical. I wasn't making up a critique of Japan myself. I was reading other economists and deciding that I trusted the ones who were saying that the Bank of Japan was doing it wrong. Yet, one would expect the governing board of the Bank of Japan to be composed of experienced economists with specialized monetary expertise. How likely is it that an outsider would be able to spot an obvious flaw in their policy? How likely is it that someone who isn't a professional economist, for example me, would be able to judge which economic critiques of the Bank of Japan were correct, or which critics were wise? How likely is it that an entire country, one of the world's most advanced countries, would forego trillions of dollars of real economic growth because their monetary controllers, not politicians but appointees from the professional elite, were doing something so wrong that even a non-professional could tell? How likely is it that a non-professional could not just suspect that the Bank of Japan was doing something badly wrong, but be confident in that assessment? Surely it would be more realistic to search for possible reasons why the Bank of Japan might not be as stupid as it seemed, as stupid as some econ bloggers were claiming. Possibly Japan's aging population made growth impossible. Possibly Japan's massive outstanding government debt made even the slightest inflation too dangerous. Possibly we just aren't thinking of the complicated reasoning going into the Bank of Japan's decision. Surely some humility is appropriate when criticizing the elite decision makers governing the Bank of Japan. What if it's you, and not the professional economists making these decisions, who have failed to grasp the relevant economic considerations? I'll refer to this genre of arguments as modest epistemology. In conversation, John clarified to me that he rejects this genre of arguments, but I hear these kinds of arguments fairly often. The head of an effective altruism organization once gave voice to what I would consider a good example of this mode of thinking. Quote, "I find it helpful to admit to unpleasant facts that will necessarily be true in the abstract, in order to be more willing to acknowledge them in specific cases. For instance, I should expect a priori to be below average at half of things, and be 50% likely to be of below average talent overall. To know many people who I regard as better than me according to my values. To regularly make decisions that look silly ex post and also ex ante. To be mistaken about issues on which there is expert disagreement about half the time. To perform badly at many things I attempt for the first time, and so on." The Dunning-Kruger effect shows that unskilled individuals often rate their own skill very highly. Specifically, although there does tend to be a correlation between how competent a person is and how competent they guess they are, this correlation is weaker than one might suppose. In the original study, people in the bottom two quartiles of actual test performance tended to think they did better than about 60% of test takers, while people in the top two quartiles tended to think they did better than 70% of test takers. This suggests that a typical person's guesses on how they did on a test are evidence, but not particularly powerful evidence. The top quartile is underconfident in how well they did, and the bottom quartiles are highly overconfident. Given all that, how can we gain much evidence from our belief that we are skilled? Wouldn't it be more prudent to remind ourselves of the base rate, the prior probability of 50% that we are below average? Reasoning along similar lines, software developer Hal Finney has endorsed, quote, "abandoning personal judgment on most matters in favor of the majority view." Finney notes that the average person's opinions would be more accurate, on average, if they simply deferred to the most popular position on as many issues as they could. For this reason, quote, "I choose to adopt the view that, in general, on most issues, the average opinion of humanity will be a better and less biased guide to the truth than my own judgment. I would suggest that, although one might not always want to defer to the majority opinion, it should be the default position. Rather than starting with the assumption that one's own opinion is right, and then looking to see if the majority has good reasons for holding some other view, one should instead start off by following the majority opinion, and then only adopt a different view for good and convincing reasons. On most issues, the default of deferring to the majority will be the best approach. If we accept the principle that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, we should demand a high degree of justification for departing from the majority view. The mere fact that our own opinion seems sound would not be enough." End quote. In this way, Finney hopes to correct for